Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.
Hi there. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, and joining me today in the studio in Laguna Beach, California, Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Jill Hubbard. I hope you'll join us. Hope you'll let us help you. Maybe somebody on the air will have a problem similar to yours. So stay tuned. We want to help.
I really appreciate the advice you guys give people. It's from a biblical perspective, and just listening has really helped me in some way.
One of my sisters began to have an affair with my husband.
Really? You're a mom, and you're afraid of your mom?
Yeah.
Does she breathe fire?
Well, yeah.
See, love's a decision, because, you know, when Jesus tells us in John 14, you know, new commandment I give you, to love each other, and love is more than just a feeling. There's a decision. There's a choice in that.
Whoa. Can we go into a different conversation here?
I reckon.
At a later time in life, when the child's 22, closeness can end up being toxic.
You can't go to therapy and not feel.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. If you're watching on television, then you can see that I am surrounded by color. And it's like it's spring in here almost. But
or
you guys.
Summer.
Or we wish we were in Hawaii or something
like
that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But hey, it's October. And this is where we teach our children not to mess around with evil things and like. You know, Halloween and stuff, and we dress them up like biblical characters, and you know, we don't, but maybe
you know, there's controversy about
there
that.
There is.
What is it?
Well, when you
let's offend as many people as possible. Go ahead, Dave. You get started.
When you take away the evil stuff, kids become more fearful, and it's like even in the fairy tales, they cleaned up the fairy tales, and now the fairy tales don't have any kind of moral lesson to them.
Really?
And even Halloween was, you know, that's when all the evil spirits are out. And you don't have to be afraid of them. It's just part of life. There's evil in life.
So you're proving that they won't overcome you.
Yeah.
Well, you teach them how to stand up to evil, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's
How do you do that?
That's really important.
The fairy tales did that.
Yeah. And the idea of dressing up and scaring away the evil spirits and that they can be strong and big. It's like when kids think there are monsters under the bed, right? You don't say, oh, there's no monsters. You say, oh, okay, let's go get that monster.
Let's go look. We'll look for them, or I'll get them, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so
I try to point out that everything that you see with the light on, when you turn it off, it's exactly the same. Now, I know that's fairly simple.
Don't turn the light out, Daddy.
I'm fairly simple. Anyway,
but
I do it over and over
again. Prior to 5 years old, they may not get that.
Yeah.
That's magical thinking age where logic is irrelevant.
Well, let me tell you about something magical, and that is the Holy Land. We have... Dave, you've been to the Holy Land?
I have, yes.
Are you going back?
I certainly am.
All right.
And you know what? I'm not afraid to go back.
You're not afraid to go back?
Because of the Middle East unrest. Mm-hmm. Unless there's an out-and-out war where they're dropping bombs.
If something like that happened, we wouldn't
is a feeling of safety in Israel that
there
you don't
is.
Get very many places.
No, that's right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're worried about safety but you want to go, bring a bulletproof vest and bomb
and
gear
mask.
And whatever, and we'll help you there. But it is, we never felt like we were in any kind of danger at all, ever, because... tourism is the big industry there, and they want you to be safe. They don't want anything to happen to anybody. But our trip in 2014 is June the 2nd through the 12th. Dave is going.
Yes,
you'll be going on your new knee.
You bet.
Oh,
be healed by then.
It'll be all better.
And I'll be going on my new ACL that's healing up right now. But I think one of the most exciting things is we've got this four-day add-on where we'll go to Jordan, Amman, Mount Nebo. We all know what happened at Mount Nebo.
Sure.
Yeah. And then, isn't that where Moses is
where
buried?
Where Moses died.
Yeah.
Translated to heaven.
And then Petra, where you Google it if you've never seen Petra. It's all there, the carvings and the rocks. But I'll tell you, there's some fascinating stuff there. I used to think Masada was just a big hill where people, the Jews, died and or committed suicide. But It was a hideout. I mean, a retreat for the Pharaoh, and it was fabulous. The stuff that's up there, and the whole trip is just
for
amazing.
Herod.
Sorry about that. I get my Herods and pharaohs mixed up. I usually just say Farad, not ferret. And then that. Anyway, come join us for Israel, June 2nd through the 12th. We'll be back after this.
Sometimes wives feel guilty when they think about investing in themselves. Sometimes the women are like, gosh, it just isn't practical, or doesn't make sense, or it costs too much. And I'm like, look at the cost you've had to carry and what you've lived with for all these years. You're worth getting that self-care.
It's an eye-opener to me because it made me to understand what sexual addiction really is.
I had no motivation, no joy, and no insight.
The Women in the Battle Workshop is designed for women dealing with a man's sexual addiction issues. Join Dr. Sherry Denham November 1st through the 3rd in Southern California. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to register or to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
I will continue to break down doors and blow up walls that get in the way of this healing process. If God is for you, who could be against you?
1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Let's go to our calls. That's what we're here for. And I want to talk right now with Jennifer, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. She watches us on television. Hello, Jennifer.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. How could we help you today?
My question is about my marriage. I've been married almost 6 years.
Okay.
We're both remarried.
How old are you?
I'm 43.
How old is he?
He's 41.
Okay.
When I met him, I was sort of in a backslidden condition and not in church, so we met at Match.com. About a year and a half later, we got married. And once we got married, things kind of drastically changed. I noticed that, we'd have, not intimacy, I'd say sex, about 3-4 times a year. I think he would almost intentionally sabotage any chance we had to kind of go and be together in the room or just hang out, watch TV. Seemed like he was just very disconnected from me. You know, I have spent years where, I mean, every day of my life, it's long hours of awkward moments of silence.
Okay, Jennifer. Jennifer, mm-hmm. Quick question. Has he ever had a problem with pornography?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you say yes?
When I met him, he had confessed that.
Okay.
He's now given his life to the Lord. A year after we got married, I went back to church with him, so he gave his life to the Lord, and he said it. God had delivered him from that.
Okay,
so
let me tell you why I ask, because it makes all of this make sense. A man who is into pornography gives it up, and he thinks that's going to make things better for him as a married man, and he comes to discover that the pornography actually has neutered him, that even in the presence of the most beautifully, whatever woman, he would not be able to perform like he wants to perform, because he is so fixated on those images that always love him, always accept him, never reject him, let him be in total control. He doesn't have to nurture them. Okay, so I would imagine that sex is very difficult for him. So what does he do? Not only does he avoid those situations, but he puts you down so you won't want those situations to come up. He distances himself from you with put downs and control and all this kind of stuff. And it's all centered around he's never fully gotten help and healing for the pornography and the sexual dysfunction that often comes once they give it up. What do you think about that?
With that, I kind of agree. I think it's more now it's come to a point where there's so much in the marriage that he does towards me that I'm almost, my mind is not on the sexual part of it now. It's
yeah.
more on the psychological abuse.
Right.
There's times where I will break long hours of silence in the house on a Saturday, and I'll he'll say that I'm hallucinating, that, you know, that he did, that he spoke to me. Our communication is usually, you know, one word answers from him. He withholds important information.
What's the question for us then?
My question to you is, I've reached out to, you know, friends of ours that are leaders of the church about a lot of his, it seems almost like a passive aggression towards me. You know, things that, even important things, he'll withhold information from me, just kind of almost as power. I don't know what to do. It's at some point. I'm just really kind of bitter and full of confusion and pain, and I don't want to stay married, but I keep getting this from everybody at church that, no, you know, you can't think of divorce, you can't think of separation, that's what the devil wants. And
Jennifer,
you know what? He's angry. You didn't fix his inadequacy.
There you go.
So he's angry.
I feel like I'm the object of his hostility. And
you are.
Don't know how to kind of get out from under that. I'm trapped.
Well, you know, sometimes the original hostility toward women in general is something that drives men to pornography. And so then when they give it up and you're the only female around, you're going to get the brunt of all
that. And you didn't make it better.
Right. So, he has expressed that he lusts over women, that he wants God to help him from that. He's in an environment where he's around women constantly, and he says that he's years of lust, and that he's, you know, God is working on him with that. And I think that that's one of the reasons why I'm so insecure about my appearance now, because I see that he does have that roaming eye, and all has support. It kind of all ties into.
Let me say this first: when a guy has a problem like that, no matter how you dressed or what you did, it wouldn't fix it.
It's not you.
He doesn't know how to be intimate and connected with you, and he needs help. He needs to help, and your marriage needs help. And here's what he's saying. I want God to fix this, but I'm not willing to go through the process that God would have me go through to get it fixed.
Or I don't even know what to do.
Yeah.
And
on the flip side to that, I'm just so miserable that I don't know if I have any more energy to try to continue. I mean, I'm constantly ignored. And
We get it. So what if you went to him and said, you know what? I am so sorry that, you know, when we got married, that all of, you know, your issues and my issues did not, you know, disappear.
Right.
And I am so sorry that I couldn't do something to make you feel better about yourself. And so I have talked with some people, and I am aware of a program that could be really helpful for both of us.
I've tried this before with other advice and other ministry. He's laughed in my face, and he's told me that I am hallucinating, that it is no longer a problem.
Jennifer,
he admits it's a problem in that he's lusting after other women.
Right.
So and then if I bring that up, then he'll say, I can't tell you anything because if I tell you, it comes back at me.
Let's take a different approach. All right. Well, so he's already resisted the sexual integrity treatment. What if you said to him, honey, I miss us. Remember the way it was 6 years ago. I missed that in us. We were dating and all that. And I believe that we have the chance to get that back. But we can't do it alone. How about we go to this marriage weekend and just give it a try? If we hate it, I mean, it's only 3 days. I mean, it's two nights. It's about 48 hours long total. How about we just go give it a try, honey, and see what he says?
I could try, but he'll sabotage everything that we try to do, and he will bring up money situations or something. He will.
Here's what I want you to do. I want you to hang on, and we're going to see if somebody might have a scholarship for you and him.
Okay.
So that when he says, we can't do it because of the money, you're going to be able to say, I got that taken care of.
Okay.
Because, and I realize, you know, yes, there are a lot of excuses and obstacles that are going to be thrown at you. So we're asking you to not be defeated by those, Jennifer, and to keep trying a different way, because what's the alternative? Are you just going to continue to live this way? And, you know, moving towards divorce, that's a really miserable process.
Now you're, and a lot more expensive.
I don't know if he's depressed also. Okay. I feel like I'm always trying to fix something that's not fixable.
Okay, so can you just agree with me that everything you've tried hasn't worked?
Yes.
Okay. So try this. Try this. Hang on. Let us see if we can get a scholarship for you, and let's try somebody else stepping in and paying for this so that there's no obstacle.
You know, even if you take all the blame on yourself, can you just come to help me figure out why I'm hallucinating? Why I, you know, see a problem here where you don't?
Okay?
Yep.
All right.
I will try.
I'm going to send you the 7-minute marriage solution.
Don't try.
No, don't try. You need
to
do it. 7-minute marriage solution. Here we go. To John, Fontana, California. How you doing, John?
Okay, how about yourself?
I'm doing pretty well. Yeah, I've got two really good friends. They know what they're talking about. They help me at the break just to cope with life. So, doing well. How are you?
Okay, well, thanks to the mercy of God, okay, up till today.
What happened today?
Can I make my comment?
Excuse me?
Yes. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I'm a 59-year-old, disabled due to a car accident, and I have a son over 35. His girlfriend went out on him. He kind of gave up everything about 5 years ago. So I am divorced, and I brought him to my house. I said, look, you don't have to pay food, bills, or rent. You don't have to pay nothing. Just come, go to school, get your certificate, and go back to work. Well, he came over about 3 months ago, and he enrolled in college.
Good.
He just missed 2 weeks. He wants to keep the house doors open. I used to work in television news as cameraman, and I know how much crime there is, and I know criminals who take every advantage. And I told my son, look, I want safety in my house. I don't want the doors open after dark.
Yeah, right.
And he got very aggressive. He used profanity with a complete you, mother, F, all the way to me, his father. And he used the F word about 10 to 15 times. And I kept saying, look, son, all I'm asking you is I want safety in my house. And he kept very aggressive. And I don't know what to do. I don't mind helping him. He even owes... He owed a few $1,000s on tickets. I paid one.
Hey, John.
He owes $5,000 or $6,000 on college loan.
John.
I was willing to pay for that. Yes?
John, you don't expect money from him, but the least he could do is respect you.
Respect him or him?
No, you.
The least he could do is show respect for the father that's willing to help him, because I can tell your heart is a heart of gold.
Mm-hmm.
You're a rare kind of person. And he's taking advantage of you, and he doesn't even respect you. And the only way he's going to respect you is for, I think, that you have to tell him he has to go out on his own. Give him 3 months to find a job and find a place. You did your best. Give him 3 months. You did your best, and it didn't work, and now he's disrespectful, and... I think unless you do that, he's just going to stay a 17-year-old who's in a 38 and 39, 40-year-old body.
Yes. You can't buy his respect or his love, John, because he's not in a place where he can appreciate it, and he just will use you. And so don't think you can buy his affection and his respect. You need to set some clear boundaries with him. And one of those is 3 months, like Steve said.
Yeah.
Which is very generous. I mean, at 35 years old, it's not a right to have help from your parents and to live at home.
Well, if I have to get a job, I'll have to drop out of college. No, you don't have to drop out of college. You're just not going to get through as fast. You're going to maybe have to take a course, one course less. But you've kind of blown this situation, and I'm really sorry. And if you'll do that, I think you've got an opportunity to restore some respect there.
You have a right to have the security that you want. It's your home. He's the guest. Yeah. You have a right to it, and he's not respecting that.
I'm going to send you Boundaries by John and Henry, and I hope that that's going to be a blessing to you. Nobody should accept disrespect in their home. I mean, it's just a rule.
Well, and that sounded very abusive.
Oh, you know. Totally. Let's go to Jasmine, Long Beach, California. KKLA is the station. Hi, Jasmine.
Hello, everybody. How are you?
Doing pretty well today, and I'm suspecting that it's not all peachy keen for you, or you would not have called us, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. What's going on?
I'm trying to deal with this postpartum depression I'm going through.
Okay. How long ago did you have your baby?
5 years ago.
Oh. All right. Oh, wow. So this is postpartum depression, huh?
Yeah.
That's okay. We're going to give you some help, Jasmine, and I'm glad that you called. You hold on. We'll go to a break. Any of you interested in something on any subject, go to newlife.com. We've probably got a perspective on that subject. I don't know if we have one on postpartum depression, but if we don't, we're going to try to
probably got one on depression.
Yeah, definitely.
There's a common misconception in our society that divorce is the only option for a broken marriage.
A month before coming here, I went and saw a non-church-related counselor. The lady I talked to said, you need to be divorced by the end of the year.
Here at New Life, we believe the complete opposite. Your marriage can be repaired, no matter what you've gone through.
Everything, even the most devastating thing in your marriage, God can take and work it together for good.
Bring your troubles to New Life's Marriage Weekend. From October 11th through the 13th in Columbus, Ohio, New Life's group counselors will be working to help struggling couples across the country. And Steve Arterburn, Mylon and Kay Yurkovich, and Drs. Dave and Jan Stoop will be teaching you how to repair your marriage. To register or to find out more, call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I just want to say thank you. This weekend has been completely transformational.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person. For the first time in my life, I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking with Jasmine, who's saying she's really been depressed about 5 years since her baby was born. And Jasmine, did anything else happen in your life other than the baby that would be a cause for depression?
No, I work full time, which I wish I didn't have to.
Are you married?
Yes. Okay. I am married.
And is it just one child, Jasmine?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It feels like my emotions are so back and forth every day and up and down, and I sometimes just want to get in my car and drive away.
And
I think about, you know, how much I would miss him, and then I feel okay maybe a couple of hours later.
How much you'd miss your husband?
Oh, yeah, him too.
Yeah. So what's that marriage like?
More the baby.
I know. I was being facetious there. Yeah. What's that marriage like?
Oh, it's good. He's understanding. He listens to me. I try not to complain a lot. I try just to force myself to, you know, feel good, but then I feel so fake.
Yeah, if you were to complain about something, what would you pick?
The bills, money, laundry, cooking.
Pressure.
Yeah, I had a good pregnancy. I never had any morning sickness, and I went to work every day. But then after I had the baby, everything changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know what happened.
And so you never experienced depression prior to?
No.
Okay. Okay. No. And no, is there a history in your family at all?
No, not that I know of.
Not that you
I
know
do
of.
Have
okay.
an older brother that might have it, but I don't know that for sure.
Okay.
I don't know if it is it all. Does postpartum depression ever go away?
Usually,
and they usually don't call it postpartum this far postpartum.
okay, maybe that's just my word for it.
Right. But you know, I do know. I mean, having a child changes everything for a lot of people. And a lot of times people can kind of cope with life, and then a child comes onto the scene and it's harder to manage things, or it's, you know,
it is,
it's a lot harder. And I think, you know, being torn between, you had to go back to work, it sounds like, right away. And I think,
I was off for 6 months.
Oh, okay, which is great. And how were you during that 6 months? Were you depressed then? Jasmine?
When I was on maternity leave?
When you were off for 6 months after the baby was born, were you depressed then?
I think so. I think I remember sometimes I would just have a blank stare, and then other days I would be okay.
Well, Jasmine, you know how you said you try not to complain?
Up and down.
You know how you said you try not to complain?
Mm-hmm.
Well, sometimes when a mother has a baby and she doesn't feel like she has much of a voice, or she feels constrained from expressing fully how she feels, once she has a baby, now she kind of feels like she represents the baby and herself. She's talking for two or observing for two. The baby has no voice. You have no voice. And that can be overwhelmingly depressing, when as before the baby, it was just annoying. And so you really do need to somehow have a method of communicating with your husband that doesn't cause conflict, but it's also not you complaining. It's just you talking about the reality of your lives. Bills aren't getting paid or whatever.
Okay.
Well, and Steve, I think you bring up a good point, because if you've had a hard time prior to having kids, like you were saying, of having a voice, you know, it's kind of like you have a baby, and now, like you were saying, you have to be there for the baby. Your turn is kind of over, and it's like somehow women get lost in there. They go from not, you know, feeling as connected and owning themselves to now it's all about the kid.
Yeah,
I was wondering what was lost, and that's what it was. There's something else going on in all this, Jasmine, that you, I don't know that you're looking at it or willing to look at it, and that's what Jill was getting at, I think, in that if Steve, if you can't complain to your husband, you know, why not? Because you have every right to complain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's sharing the burden.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not really complaining. It's venting, sharing the burden.
And as I listen to you, it's like all the burden is on your shoulders, and you have no place to take it. And you know, it was
before. That's how I know it's not him, it's me, because he's open, he's understanding. I just hear that.
But
I know guys don't want to, you know, hear.
Where did you hear that?
I work around, you know, a lot of guys.
They're just telling you baloney.
Well, there's the difference between ongoing kind of nagging, complaining, and honest sharing of feelings.
Yeah,
there's a big difference.
That's something you're supposed to carry together and be able to talk about it together. And maybe it is something in you that keeps you from being willing to do that. But I would encourage you to start doing it more. Talk to your husband about, how do you feel when I, quote unquote, complain? Mm-hmm. And you might be surprised that it's not something that really upsets him. Yeah.
Or when I honestly share my feelings, how is it for you?
Okay.
Does that feel like a burden?
Let me send you the secrets that women keep, and I think it's going to help you find your voice for you and the baby. We'll be back after this.
First time I listened to the program, I was pretty much hooked just because of the honesty and compassion and caring that was given to the callers.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
It's just amazing to me the impact the ministry has had on people's lives.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and transformation. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I can't think of a better place. There's been times that my husband and I have talked about it when money maybe is a little tighter or whatever, and I thought, well, but it seems like I will turn on the radio and I will hear something. I'll think, that's why I do it, because there's just so much help there. And the way it's handled is just awesome.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
I've been struggling since I was probably in my mid-20s.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I honestly felt like I was on an island all by myself, and I was the only one in the world that was like this, you know, and why did God create me like this?
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
When I went to Every Man's Battle right from the very beginning, I realized that this is every man's battle, not just my battle.
Yeah. Become the man you want to be, the husband your wife needs you to be, the father your children can look up to.
Every Man's Battle explains to you why you are like you are. They give you the tools, and they teach you the scriptures, and they show you how to work your way through the problems and where to get help and how to get help and who to get help through.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Don't wait. Just go ahead and go, and it'll make a huge difference in your life and your family's life.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and let's go right over here to Anna from Atlanta, Georgia, WNIV. Hello, Anna. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you doing today?
Excellent. How could we help?
Well, I wanted to know if you had ever considered going to South America, Argentina and Paraguay, to present a conference of Every Man's Battle and Women in the Battle.
Wow.
No,
is that an invitation?
But Steve would go, but...
Yeah.
Or I'd go.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good.
You mean just to go and do the workshops to let people know there's hope for the problems?
Yes, that is a very Latin culture, a little bit different than the American culture. Mm-hmm. And in that culture, even in the Christian churches, adultery is very prevalent. If you go and look at the Brazilian churches in the United States, most of the women dress very provocatively. And it's not a big deal, and a man is a man, and that's just the way we are, and Christian or no, that's what we do.
Hmm. Well, here's
so there's a real need.
Well, I'm going to Brazil in October next year.
Yeah,
I'll look for you.
You know, we have a difficult time just doing what we do here in the U.S., or we would be reaching out internationally like that, and I wish we were, but it's just, you know, it's just really hard.
But I hear what you're saying, that there's a great need there for that.
I just wondered if you had a plan for us, Anna.
Well, my next question, if you wouldn't be able to do it, our church does a lot of mission trips and we do a lot of teaching. What would your recommendation be for us to put on a conference? It would be really introducing the idea first, in the first day, and then putting on a conference either at a church or...
Over in South America?
Yes, in South America.
Well, I'll come and do it. I'll do it for free if you can arrange the conference.
I'll be happy to.
Okay. And, well, hold on, and we'll get some information from you, and and maybe we'll, because you know, there. I don't know how many languages our stuff is in, but yeah, hold on, and let's see if we can't get something going there. I know my wife would be excited to get me out of the country. All right, let's go to Ed, Atlanta, Georgia. Hey, Ed, how's it going there, buddy? WNIV. Hello.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, I'm really struggling with grief and mourning, which has caused what I think is a lengthy depression from the sudden, unexpected loss of my wife.
Oh, how long ago did she die?
Well, it's been just a little over 3 years, and I just haven't seemed to make the progress that I thought I would.
Yeah. How did she die?
Well, the fact is that she died because of a misdiagnosis, so that she had a small infection in her heart valve that missed until she was really getting sick, and then just before they were going to operate on it, she had two strokes, which complicated everything.
Oh, brother.
Eventually, she died.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I know how that feels. My dad went to the doctor, and he said he had gallbladder problems and had a heart attack and died shortly after that. So that's so hard. So hard to deal with that kind of reality. So sorry. And so you're having a hard you're having a hard time moving on, right?
Well, I thought I'd moved on, but I can't seem to get the, for lack of a better word, the veil, the cloud of the pain of the depression.
Yeah,
just stays with me constantly. I mean, you know, I went through all the things. I've been active in the same church for almost 38 years. My wife served. I served.
You know that can really
43-year relationship with the Lord. I went to
Ed, what have you done with your anger related to her death?
Pardon me?
What have you done with your anger related to her death?
I've forgiven.
That you didn't.
I've forgiven everybody.
You didn't answer my question. What'd you do with the anger? You didn't get angry.
Did you?
See, anger is a natural part of grieving. It's a protest.
Well, I understand that.
But if you don't allow yourself to experience that, then it's just like a black cloud that follows you everywhere you go.
Well, I did. I did experience it. But I eventually made the decision to forgive everybody that was involved. And not dwell on that because I couldn't change anything no matter what I did.
Okay.
Okay, and how long did you say you were married, Ed?
38.
Well, we were together for almost 47 and a half years.
Okay.
Including marriage, dating, engagement, and marriage.
Okay, so how bad is the depression? Are you stuck in your home, or are you out doing stuff, but you're just really sad and depressed? When tell us about your life right now.
Well, I went through multiple grief share groups. I went to all my Sunday school classes that I could think to go to plug in and make connections. Didn't have much luck there because it seems like the depression seems to block my ability to relate like I used to.
Okay, so tell us about your life now. What's going on? Do you work or?
No, I was in such shock after her death that I had to resign from health because I just couldn't function.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And consequently, I missed the grace period by one day of them hiring me back at my
full salary. Okay, so what is your life? What is your life like? What do you do during the day?
Well, I've been struggling with that. I can't seem to connect. I mean, I get up every morning. I have some guys, fellows I meet at breakfast and share with them.
Okay, why aren't you on medication?
Well, that's one of the reasons I'm calling. I've tried medication, and
you need to try it again. You need to find a very good psychiatrist who can help you get the right medication so that you can get your brain working again. You may not have to be on it for a long time, but 5 or 3 years, man, the connections start going there. You can end up more chronically depressed the longer you go. And so I want to see those circuits broken so that your chemistry and the electricity in your brain, you know, the connections can all heal up. And that's what medication would do. I really, what don't you guys think he really needs to look at it?
I think you do need that to get going. But, you know, this is a long-term marriage. I mean, you are going to miss her.
Yeah.
You know, your life isn't going to be the same, and there is going to be a void there. But there are still other things that can be good, even though you may still always think, gosh, I wish I could share it with her, or I wish she were here to do it with me.
Yeah.
So there is some of that that it will be sad for you, but it doesn't have to be so depressing.
Right.
And I think the medication may help to push you over the hump.
Well, I wish you could come and join us for Healing is a Choice in Columbus. We're going to talk to you about that off the air. I'll send you the book, Healing is a Choice. I hope it'll help. Let's go to Tracy, Denver, Colorado, KGFT. Hello, Tracy.
Hi there. I really appreciate you taking my call today.
Sure. How can we help?
Well, I have a 17-year-old son that has been dealing with drug issues, not alcohol, for a number of months. It's been about an 18-month cycle that we've been dealing with, kind of going around the same mountain. And he ended up moving out when he was 17 after he got his GED. For 2 months, and we got the dreaded phone call from the police department saying that he had been arrested for a felony.
Oh, boy. So he's selling? He's selling?
No, he was stealing.
Stealing. Okay.
So he ended up moving back home, and of course, you know, on probation for a felony, can't do any drugs, quit smoking the pot because he really had no choice.
Okay.
And short version of the long story is last Thursday we got knowledge that he progressed to something that we couldn't trace on a UA from home, and he elevated to acid.
Okay, so he's using LSD.
Yep.
Okay.
So that terrified us, and to be quite frank, we weren't really sure what to do. I called into the 1-800 number last week, and they said it would maybe be a good idea to call in today. And so that's why I'm calling today, because we're not really sure what to do.
Where is he right now?
Right now he's living in our home. We had a meeting with him on Sunday, basically saying we have knowledge of this and we have program options in mind. But at this point, you know, if you break the rules anymore, is kind of where we're at. You know, then the choice will be out of your hands. So he's 17. He's 7 months from his 18th birthday, and we're feeling like we've got such a short window of opportunity.
Okay. We'll give you some help. I don't know of anybody better to answer a question like this than Dave Stoop. So hold on. We'll be right back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
2 years ago, we took 120 people to the Holy Land.
It was an incredible adventure for us. For me now, when I open up the Bible, it just becomes alive for me.
Once you go and see and do and touch and feel, there's just a connection that you just can't explain.
We're going to Israel again in 2014. We're going to go June the 2nd through the 12th. We're going to go where David hid from Saul, Jericho, the tunnels under the Western Wall, and the Temple Steps, visiting the Wailing Wall, the Garden of Gethsemane, Masada, the Dead Sea, Mount of Olives, Bethlehem, the Garden Tomb, Caiaphas's house, and more. Then, from the 13th to the 15th, if you stay with us, we're going to go to Petra, to Mount Nebo, and to Amman.
It is probably one of the best crash courses in Bible you would ever have in your whole life.
Call Gill Travel at 1-800-223-3855. You can also get that off of our website. Ask for Donna.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're talking to Tracy. A 17-year-old son is living at home, stealing, yeah, and now LSD.
And just one question from me is, why is the choice not already out of his hands? You have a few months.
And that is a great question.
What are you waiting for?
A year ago, sent him away to a grandparent's house for 4 weeks. And it was an unannounced thing because he just seemed like he was escalating out of control, and we were very concerned. And so we literally picked him up from school, brought him right to the airport, and sent him to his grandpa's house.
Wow.
Now you need to do that with a treatment
center.
Yeah,
what about treatment?
I understand. I'm kind of giving you a little background to we literally had the application made, the checks made out. We were going to just send him literally on Monday yesterday after meeting with his probation officer.
That would have been a good idea.
And the reason why we didn't is because the flashback of him saying, I'll never forgive you for sending me away.
You don't listen to that, Tracy.
You don't listen to anything he says, Tracy.
You don't listen to it. Trust me.
He's a sick boy.
And you have about 6 months of power left until he turns 18. And so you do it. Does the probation officer know that he violated?
Yes, but they don't do anything about it unless they actually see it on an analysis.
Okay. Well, I'm glad, because that's one of the things I would have said, is to let them know what happened. You need to get him on a plane and kidnap him, just like you did when he sent to grandma's house, which never works, by the way.
Grandma's not
a good treatment center.
Yeah.
You get him to that treatment center and you let him hate you. Because I think it was Carol Burnett was telling the thing about her daughter, and she said, I had to let her hate me in order to love me again.
Yep.
And you have to let this guy hate you in order to let him love you again, because
he's not making good choices for
himself.
He's
out of control.
All right. I hope that you will do the tough thing. And I'm going to send you Boundaries with Teens. Maybe that'll give you some encouragement there. But you're not going to beat this thing by being nice and giving him another chance.
I had to press charges against my son and put him in jail before he started to believe that I was done.
It takes it. All right, let's go to Annette, our final caller, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Hi, Annette. How are you?
Oh, I guess I'm all right.
Well, we don't have a lot of time, but I did want to try to get to your call. What's the question for us?
Okay, well, I'm going to try to make this, short as possible. Well, my son in 2001, he got murdered really bad. He got beat 39 times in the head with a barbell in 2001. And I was in Tichita prison because of my drug uses, and they wouldn't let me go to the funeral. But anyway, when I got out, a psychiatrist was coming to speak to me and my son. He was 10 at the time, my son, Twan. And he would never open up, and the psychiatrist said, well, it's going to get worse if he doesn't. Well, it's been like 12 years, and I'm still traumatized because I'm having anger issues and feel like I wanted to just commit myself in a hospital because I guess I can't let go of the horror part of what happened. How could they do that and be so, so heartless? But now my 24-year-old, he's 24 now, and he's giving me problems, and he acts like he's got a lot of anger and issues. He won't talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
He distances himself from me. And little do they realize I'm still hurting really bad, but I won't talk to them about it. But right now, my son, he needs help. He's out there in bed, and he's just doing things and saying things. And I can't believe it's my child, but he won't talk to me.
Okay. So a lot of times, it shows up a little late. When one brother dies, mm-hmm. and the mom kind of shuts down because of it, the other brother
kind
gets
of like
angry.
Right. There's nobody for the ones that are left everybody is hurting so much. So everybody kind of goes off in their corner.
What do you think she should do?
Well, the only person you can affect right now, Annette, is yourself. And you've got a lot of unfinished grieving, and it may be part of what your other son is reacting against, is that he sees the pain in you, and that mm-hmm. it stirs up all his pain. Mm-hmm. You need to get involved in some grief groups where you can talk about this with people who understand the pain that you're in. And when it's a child, it's a double jeopardy thing when you lose a child, because it's out of order. And then when you lose them like you did through brutality and murder, that just compounds the whole thing. And you've got some real grief work to do. If you can afford it, I would even see a counselor to do the grief mm-hmm. work. And as you prepare yourself and get whole and healthy again yourself, I think, you know, stay in touch with your son. Talk to him about what you're going through. Talk to him about what you're experiencing. Keep him in the loop. And I think that's the best thing you can do with him.
Yeah, absolutely. I would tell him that you realize that your prolonged grieving has affected him, and that he lost something too, very valuable.
Try to connect.
Yeah, there was nobody there to help
right,
him grieve.
That, yes, and that you're going to get help.
All right.
Right.
I'm going to send you. Excuse me?
He won't listen to me. He won't even talk to me.
No, but he'll watch you.
But he'll watch you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. If he watches you get better, he'll feel some hope there. Let me send you How We Love Our Kids, and I hope that is going to be an insightful book for you. We can't do this without you. And it's end of the month, and we really need your help. Would you ask God if maybe it would be appropriate for you to help this ministry? Somebody else has helped for a long time. And we'd like for you to come on board. Maybe you could join Club New Life. Let us send you a resource every other month as a Club New Life member. Send you a Bible saying thanks for joining. Give you discounts on all the things that we do here and products that we sell. And I'll send you a CD that I make especially for you every month if you would join Club New Life. $25 a month is all it takes. And it really makes a huge difference. Almost 6,000 people are part of that Club New Life Giving. Maybe you don't want to be a part of a club. Maybe you're a loner. You could be a giving loner and not join the club, and we would thank you for that. A gift of any, if you send a gift, I'll send you the 7-minute marriage solution with 7 things to stop right now that'll help your marriage, 7 things to start, really practical things, and how to spend 7 minutes a day that will transform your relationship. So please help us with a scholarship, a one-time gift, or joining Club New Life, and keep us on the air. Now, I mentioned earlier, I think, the Holy Land trip, June the 2nd through the 12th, and then the add-on through the 15th. We'd love for you to come and go with us. You are still eligible for the super-duper Double Dog Early Bird Special, where you can save $200. We have drug and alcohol treatment programs. If you're struggling, if somebody in your family has done what so many people have done, get addicted to prescription drugs, we've got help for you. You know, just going through the surgery and being on the narcotics. I mean, I was in so much pain, I was asking for heroin. I don't even know what it feels like, but I knew it had to be better than this.
Well, that's what you were getting, oxytocin or
Well, you can see how easy it is. But so I knew it was easy to get addicted, so I just started weaning myself off, but man, it's easy to get stuck. Healing is a choice, and the Marriage Solution Weekend is in Columbus, Ohio, October the 11th through the 13th. And man, if you need some help, a little boost, or total rescue of your marriage, I don't think you'll be disappointed. And then that same weekend, but in a different place, Washington, D.C., the Everyman's Battle, October 11th through the 13th, be one of the over 11,000 men who've received help through there. And our newest program, Women in the Battle, is November 1 through 3. Sherry Denham, newly married, will be giving that, and we know she'll have an extra boost of energy into that situation. And then don't forget the 7-Minute Marriage Devotional Bible. It's regularly $35. We'll sell it to you for $20.99. You can't beat that, and it's a great tool to bring your marriage back together. Thank you, Dr. Jill Hubbard. Thank you, Dave Stoop. Thank you, Terry McIntosh, and to all of you who support, listen, watch, view, and pray for us. Thank you. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.
Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.